According to Mark. Mark chapter 4. As we look at this passage, what we find really throughout the whole chapter of Mark chapter 4, there just a little scene of what is going on here in this passage. Jesus is there by the Sea of Galilee. And as he begins teaching, he gets into the boat because the crowd is so large. And he gets into the boat and he begins teaching all day long, parable after parable. And he begins with the parable of the sower, and he's going through several different parables. And at the end of the day, he's tired. He tells the disciples to get in the boat, let's go across the water. And so they all get into the boat, and verse 35 we'll begin reading. It says, in the same day that he's been saying or teaching all of these parables all day long, that same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, speaking to the disciples, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat unto the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? As we look at this passage, what we will look at and see is that Jesus is in control. You know, as I began studying this passage and preparing the message, my first thought for the title of the message was going to be Jesus Calms the Storms. But the truth is, Jesus doesn't always calm the storms. You know, as we look throughout the Word of God, and sometimes we just expect Jesus is going to sort everything out for me. Well, as the psalmist, as he wrote in Psalms 23, he mentions, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. God does not promise that our life is going to be perfect. God does not even promise that he is going to take care of every storm in our life. But he does promise that he will always be there with us. You know, as we look at this passage, as we begin, a question that I would have for you, does the thought that Jesus is in control, does that bring great comfort, or does it bring great fear at times? I know the Bible answer, the church answer, we would say, well, it brings great comfort. Only for those that are not doing God's will, it should bring fear. But as a Christian follower of God, it should bring me great comfort. But the truth is, and as we look at this passage, sometimes it might bring great fear. Because as you see in this passage, the disciples, they were afraid before the storm. After the storm, we don't see them find great comfort. Instead, after the storm, in verse 41, notice it says, and they feared exceedingly. They were terrified after the storm was calm. They were afraid before the storm, but they were terrified after the storm was calmed. And you know, when we understand that Jesus is in control, it causes us to realize and understand what can take place in our life. As we see in this passage, as they set out going across the Sea of Galilee, and I've never been there. I would love to go there sometime. And they say that the Sea of Galilee is about 690 feet below sea level. And just above the Sea of Galilee is Mount Helen, which stands over 9,000 feet above sea level. And the cold winds would come down off the mountain, down to the warm air there at the sea, and cause great storms. It's not a very large sea. They say about 7 miles wide by about 13 miles long. Back in 1992, I was reading that there was a storm so great it generated 10-foot waves there on the Sea of Galilee. Now, I can understand if it's out on the ocean, 10-foot waves, that's pretty big. But just think if you were to go down to Barrie, where they're living there in Barrie, and just think about 10-foot waves. Now, if you're a surfer, that's great. But if you're a sailor or a fisherman, that's not the best weather. I couldn't expect or fathom seeing 10-foot waves there down by Barrie. This was not a very large sea or a lake. But there, as they're crossing, this storm, probably something like this massive storm, rose up. And they were afraid. You know, as we think about this storm, we all have storms in our life. We all face different trials through our life. The storms of life. And no, they're not the big thunderstorms. And I was talking to somebody, and normally what I've seen in the past few years is we'll get a heat wave like this, gets up to 30 degrees, lasts for about 3 days, and it finishes with a great thunderstorm, and then cools off. We're enjoying the last couple weeks until I came into this building with 30 degrees temperature with still air in the building, but we're still enjoying it. But you know, as we think about this, is one of those thunderstorms, if you will, but in our lives, every one of us face different trials. We face different storms. It might be a financial storm. And one of the things about this storm, it rose up very suddenly, and it was very severe. And there's some storms in our life that kind of creep up on us, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. But then there are other storms where one day everything is perfect, and the very next day, it could be the very worst news that you've ever heard. And you know, we wonder, what is taking place? Why is this happening? It could be our health. It could be relationships around us. It could be our work. Many different things going on in our life. One of the interesting things in this passage, this storm came up and was really a trial testing something that many of these disciples were very experienced in life. They say about 7 out of the 12 disciples were fishermen by trade. I mean, these men, they knew how to sail a boat. They knew how to go across the water. They had everything under control. This was one thing that they were experts at. You know, sometimes God brings certain trials to test us right where we think we have it all together. Right where we think, I have it all together, I don't need anybody's help, I've got this. And then all of a sudden, God brings something into our life to where we say, I don't have this. And in this passage, we find, really as it mentions there in verse 37, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat unto the ship. Now look at it, the very last part of the verse. So that it was now full. When did they go wake Jesus up? At the very beginning of the storm? Of course not. They've had storms in the past. In every storm that they faced so far, they were able to take care of it in their own power. They were able to manage it. But this one was beyond what they could manage. They didn't wake him up right at the beginning. They waited until the boat was full of water, where they knew, we're not getting out of this alive in our own strength. You know, sometimes God brings certain things into our life to help us recognize, you know what? I cannot do it in my own strength. We try. We work harder. But then we get to that point. Say, I can't do it. You know, not only do we see the storms of life, we see the questions that we might face. Notice the disciples. Verse 38. And he, speaking of Jesus, was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Have you ever looked at God and or prayed to God and say, God, don't you care about me? Don't you care about what I'm going through? Now just to, what would you have said if you were there in the boat? I mean, you are trying to get the water out. You are trying to sail the ship. And you look back and you see Jesus sleeping. I mean, think about all the preparations going on the last few days, getting everything ready for the wedding here at the church. And you are working hard. And then all of a sudden you see somebody, maybe it was Pastor Darren, and he's sitting off to the side. Maybe he's sitting right here on this front row having a snooze. What would you say to him? Get up! We've got work to do! What are you doing here sleeping? We're working our tails off, and you're just laying here sleeping. Think about the disciples, what they're thinking. Hey, we are working hard. What are you doing back there sleeping? Get up! But they go a step further. Don't you care about us? We're about to die, and here you are just having a little snooze. But you know, sometimes in our life, when we go through trials, storms that we don't know how we're going to get out, all of a sudden those doubts begin to rise. Those questions begin to rise. And that's how, really going back to the very first sin, Adam and Eve, everything was perfect, everything was great. And what did Satan do? Has God said, hey, you won't really die. God's trying to keep something good from you. If you eat, you'll be able to behold between the good and the evil. God is trying to keep something good from you. Go ahead, eat. And he questions and he causes the doubt against the goodness of God. You know, sometimes that's what happens in our life. When we go through these different trials and we face different things in our life, the first reaction sometimes is, God, where are you? God, don't you know where I am? God, I'm right here. God, are you even in existence? Because if you were, why don't you do something here? You know, many times he's waiting for us to call out for him. And as I mentioned before, he does not promise that everything is going to work out perfectly in our sense of perfectly. It will work out perfectly in his way, but it might not be the way we planned. I remember a few months ago, as I was reading the Bible to the boys, and I was reading through the book of Acts and going through Acts chapter 7. Came to the end of the chapter, and it's about Stephen being stoned. And there he is as after he preaches a great message to the people. The people did not like what they heard. And so they turned on him and stoned him to death. While he's being stoned, he cries out to God and he says, lay not this sin to their charge. Noah asks me, why did he die? Why didn't God keep him alive? You know, sometimes things happen in our life and we wonder, why didn't God heal them? Why didn't God keep that from happening? Why did God allow them to lose their job? Why this? Why that? I was at a school recently talking to year four about the Bible. And they invited me in to teach about the Bible, a sacred text. And as I was teaching and answering different questions, one of the girls said, if God had power to raise Jesus from the dead, why doesn't he raise our loved ones?
from the dead.
You know, sometimes questions go through our minds like that. And I answered, because Jesus did rise again from the dead, one day every person that believes on Him will rise again. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. And you know, as we face different trials, we've had a loved one, maybe they've gotten cancer, maybe they've had this or they've had that, and we've prayed for years and years that they would be healed. And then all of a sudden the day comes, and they're not healed. And they pass away. The truth is, they've been, if they know Jesus Christ as their Savior, they have been fully healed and given a new body. But you know, we wonder, why didn't it work out the way I hoped for it? Now we know in Romans chapter 8 and verse 29, it says, and we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. It goes on in that passage in verse 31, verse 32. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who, verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Verse 37, it says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Through all that those verses, He mentions many different things that can come into our life. He does not say, because of the love of God, none of these things will affect you, none of these things will touch you, but it says, because of the love of God, none of these things will separate you from God. Yes, we will have the tribulation. Yes, we will have the perils. We will have tribulations and persecutions come our way. But God promises He will always be there with us. And as we continue on in this passage, we see the person that is in authority. They wake Him up. Carest thou not that we perish? Verse 39. And He arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Can you imagine this? I mean, the waves are rolling up, crashing over the side of the boat. They are so afraid. And Jesus stands up and He rebukes the wind. The wind stops. But you know, if it was just coincidence, the waves would have kept on rolling for several hours. You know, going to summer camp and everybody tries to do the cannonballs, or they jump in, they want to make the biggest wave, the biggest splash, and when they make the biggest wave, it takes a few minutes for the water to completely calm. But that's not what happened here. The wind stopped, but the waves instantly stopped. If it was just the wind, the disciples would have thought, maybe, it's a coincidence, maybe. But when they saw the waves just completely calm, they stepped back and they said, there's something different going on. Verse 40, He turns to them and He said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? Think, as Jesus, He turns to the disciples. I mean, this is a storm that they have never seen. This is a storm beyond anything that they had ever seen. And Jesus just speaks to them and says, why are you afraid? I mean, think about in your life, and you're going through the greatest trial, and you're crying out to God, and God says, it's all right. Don't be afraid. As He finishes with that phrase, He says, how is it that ye have no faith? Do you see and recognize Jesus for who He is? This is the Creator of the universe in the boat with them. The Creator of the universe who loves and cares for us. Even as that passage in Romans chapter 8 and verse 31 and 32, as it mentions about He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? If God sent His own Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us, to make the payment for our sin, don't you think He's going to take care of us in every other area of life? You know, as it finishes in this passage, and they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey Him? They saw and recognized Jesus as the creator of the universe. But you know, I think in another way that might have caused some fear, remember at the beginning of the message I asked, when we recognize that Jesus is in control, does it bring great comfort or does it bring a bit of fear? If Jesus has the power to calm the storm, Jesus also had the power to make the storm not even happen. Jesus could have said, just, I'm not going to cause any storm. But Jesus, even though He is in control, allowed the storm to come into their life to test their faith, to bring to the point to where they recognize this is beyond my control. Then Jesus was able to calm the storm. We like to be in control. We try to be in control. Sometimes God has to bring things into our life, storms into our life, to help us to recognize, I'm not in control. I thought I was. I thought I was doing pretty good, keeping everything going. But I'm not really in control. He is. If Jesus has the power to calm the storm, Jesus also had the power to stop the storm before it started, but He didn't. He needed the disciples to go through that. But as the disciples thought, if Jesus is allowing this now, what could He bring in my life in the future? These disciples had many different trials in the future. Most of them were going to die for their faith as a martyr. They were going to face many different trials, but they had to understand Jesus is in control. You know, as we look at this passage, another thing just before we close. As we go through this passage and we see what takes place, a great storm. And then all of a sudden, or as people are greatly afraid, all of a sudden there's a great miracle that calms the storm. And after the storm, people are terrified even more. Think about a passage like that back in the Old Testament. Anybody remember a passage that fits that description? What is it? There's a great storm. People are afraid during the storm. Andrew, he's got the answer. What is it? Jonah. Remember Jonah. There's a great storm. Somebody is sleeping in the boat. They wake him up and he prays and Jonah is cast out of the boat. Everything is perfectly calm after he's thrown overboard. And the people that are left on the boat are even more terrified afterwards than during the storm. Many different similarities between those two stories. The difference is one person is thrown overboard. One person stays in the boat. Going back to Jonah, why was the storm? Why did the storm take place? It was because of Jonah's sin. And in order to save everybody else on the boat, Jonah had to be thrown overboard, almost as a sacrifice to make the payment for his own sin, to spare the others. Now in this passage, Jesus stays on the boat. The storm wasn't caused by sin, but you know there is another storm. A storm that awaits every single one of us. the storm of death. And as much as we try to be in control, every one of us is going to face death. Something that is out of our control. And that death is caused by sin. But Jesus Christ, in one sense, just as Jonah was thrown overboard to spare everyone else on the ship, Jesus Christ went to the cross to make the payment for our sin. And I think of Barabbas. Remember, Barabbas, he was guilty of murder. Barabbas was guilty to be hung on the cross. But somebody had to be let free that day. It should have been Jesus the innocent. Jesus the perfect one. Jesus that hadn't done any sin. But instead, they said, "We'll let Barabbas go free." Jesus, in one sense, Jesus died, even though he was innocent, while Barabbas went free. But I believe God allowed that to take place for Barabbas and how the law worked that one had to go free as a picture of the substitute sacrifice that Jesus made for us. We deserve to die. We deserve to be thrown overboard like Jonah. We deserve death. But Jesus took it in our place. You know, as we think about this passage, first of all, you may not know Christ as your Savior. May tonight be the night Jesus died in your place. And He desires for you to know Him as His Lord and Savior, as your Lord and Savior. But you know, as we think about Jesus being in control, every one of us, you could look back at your life and say, "Yes, I've had storms." But as we look forward in our life, we can also think, "I will have storms. I know that God is in control. I have no idea what He's going to bring into my life. And it may be to a point to where I won't understand, am I even going to survive? It may be to the point to where I don't even know if I can face another day." We are not promised a storm-free life. But we are promised that Jesus is in control and He will never leave us nor forsake us. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank You for all that You have done for us. We thank You for going to the cross, making the payment for our sins. But Lord, also as we think about, we do face trials. Some may even be facing a trial right now. A trial that they don't know how they're going to make it through. Lord, I pray that You would help them to understand we can't make it through in our own strength. Help us to rely on You. Help us to understand that You are in control, that You do have all power. You have power to calm the storm. Yes, You have power to stop the storm from happening, but there's a reason. And I pray that we would draw closer to You through these storms. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. We'll go ahead and take our next song, number 328. I'm rejoicing night and day. As I walk the pilgrim way, for the hand of God in all my life I see. And the reason of my bliss, yes, the secret, all is this, that the Comforter abides with me. We can go happy night and day because the Comforter, Jesus Christ, abides with us. Let's stand as we sing. Thank you.
Aren't you thankful he does abide with us? Now, we're getting out quite a bit early. You might say, you know what? Maybe I like this heat. If the preacher ends a little bit earlier, it might be nice. So now you can get a little fresh air outside, but